Mark 4, verse 21. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say to the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable should we use to describe it? It is like the mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many smaller parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything.
How does Jesus' kingdom grow? Now, we know Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom in this world at this time. You know, it's not a physical kingdom. It doesn't have a geography or boundaries. There will be a day after he returns, after judgment, when it will be a new heavens and new earth, and Jesus will reign over all. But during this period, it's a spiritual kingdom. And the question is, how does Jesus' spiritual kingdom grow? Now, I guess that is a question that we care about, because there are people we know and we love who we really would like to come and submit themselves to Jesus' rule and come to know him as their savior and their friend. And we think, Jesus, how does your kingdom grow in their lives? It's a question that we kind of care about because of where we are nationally. Nominal Christianity in the UK has seen massive decline over the past couple of decades. I was reading some stats from 2018 where they worked out that young adults, this is people between the age of 18 and 24, just 2% of them said they were part of the Church of England. And actually, 7 out of 10 people in that age group, 18 to 24, said that they had no religion at all. See, as we look to the future of the growth of Jesus' kingdom in this country and where things are heading, actually that is pretty depressing. That should break our hearts. Now, it makes sense of some of the stuff I've seen. I remember being in Worcester. Some of you remember this story, and I was in a barber's there. And the guy who was cutting my hair probably was about, 24 years old. And it was coming up to Easter weekend. And I said, "I'm speaking at Good Friday, a service at our church. And I was just wondering, what do you think happened on Good Friday?" And he looked blankly and said, "So it's something religious, right?" I was like, "Yeah, okay." And then the other barber, who was a similar age, jumped in and he said, "Oh, I know, it's to do with Jesus, isn't it? And I think it's Jesus' birthday." And just to double check if it was just them, that night I went to a chip shop. I had a very exciting life in Worcester, and I just asked the person behind the counter who was serving me, of a similar age bracket, and I just said, "Just out of interest, do you know what happened on Good Friday?" And she just looked blankly, had absolutely no idea at all. You see, how does Jesus' kingdom grow in a world like that? You see, those people, it's not that they'd understood what Christianity was all about, what Jesus was all about, and decided, "No, I'm definitely rejecting that." They just had no clue. They had absolutely no idea at all. And so as we look at the future of the UK, we think, how on earth is Jesus' kingdom going to grow in this setting? Well, the parables we are looking at today, and also harking back to some of the parables last week, Jesus gives his answer as to how the kingdom will grow. And we saw last week that it starts with sowing the seed. It's like a farmer sowing the seed. We sow the word. He says, actually, growth comes as we sow the word of the Bible, as we sow the good news about Jesus, that you know, we are all sinners, that we all face God's eternal judgment. It's real. But God in his love has sent his son to die in our place, so that if we trust him, we can be forgiven and part of his forever family. It's not something we earn. It's something that is a gift. We hear that as we sow that word, there'll be growth. And there are four parables that again highlight some of the issues around that for us today. And the first two parables are around how we listen to the word. See, the big message of the first two things, how's the kingdom grow? Well, firstly, how do you listen? How do you listen to Jesus and his teaching? And Jesus says you need to listen big, because actually it's a matter of life and death. Listen big, it's a matter of life and death. You remember last week, Jesus was really clear what he wanted people to do. Verse 3, he says, listen. Verse 9, he says, whoever have ears to hear, let him hear. And we get the same in the parables today. Verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear. He says the way you listen really matters. Now, the first of these two parables in 21 to 25 is all about the message. And let me just read it to you. Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. And lots of you will sort of think, oh, that reminds me of Matthew's gospel and how we're not meant to put our light under a bowl. But that's not what this means in this context. You see, Jesus is using this illustration in a different way. And in this context, he's saying, what is the thing that's being disclosed? Well, it's the message of the kingdom. It's the secret of the kingdom of heaven. And he's hiding that within the message of the parables. But he's saying it won't always be like that. The message of what the kingdom is all about, my life, death, resurrection, ascension, and all that achieves, that will come out into the open, and it will be in full light of day. And I guess we see that as you go into the rest of the New Testament. It's not that the apostles keep preaching in parables and riddles to kind of hide the meaning. No, they fully explain what Jesus has come to do. It's fully disclosed. But Jesus tells us what we're to do with that. Listen. Listen carefully. It's a matter of life and death. The secret of the kingdom of heaven is there. Will you listen? Again, that's what he goes on to say in 24 and 25. Let me read on. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away from them. See, here in verse 24, Jesus is using sort of imagery of the marketplace, you know, the open market where you go and there's people with big bags full of food, and you have your measures with you, and it's like you're measuring out the flour. Or you go to a nut seller, someone who has loads of different types of nuts, and you go, right, I want some of those nuts. And he says, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So he says, if you go with a teaspoon to go and get stuff out of those nut bags, how many nuts are you going to get? Not very many, because the teaspoon is tiny. So you measure that, and that's how many nuts you'll get. But if you go with a massive pan like this, how many nuts are you going to fit into there? Tons, absolutely tons. Jesus says, it's not tons literally, okay, it'll be lots, but you get loads of them. You get the idea. Jesus says, that's how you should think about listening to me. You know, if you come to me with a little teaspoon, if you come to me expecting not very little, if you come to me not really serious about listening, then that's all you're going to get back. But you come with a massive container, you come with massive expectation and listen, then you'll find that I will fill that and more. So be careful how you listen. Now, I think that's actually a bit of a challenge for lots of us who are Christians. Because the longer you're a Christian, sometimes the harder it is to listen to God's word and to listen carefully and come with big expectation, because you kind of think, well, I know it all now. But just think about what you're saying when you say that. You're saying, the almighty, eternal, all-knowing, magnificent God who we will spend the rest of eternity marveling in and learning about and delighting in, that now I've hit 55, I've got nothing more to learn about him. I'm there. Now I've hit 70, or substitute your age in. You know, when you put it like that, that's crazy, isn't it? Listen big, and he'll fill it up. I was spending time with a friend this week. We did a Bible study on Zoom. Check us out, Zoom, one-to-one Bible study. And we were looking at the book of Ephesians together. And there was one verse which we were just slowing down and looking at. And I was asked some questions about this verse, and he'd give me all these answers. And I was like, no, just look at what it says. And what it said was totally unexpected. This chap thought he already knew the answer. And then actually, when he carefully considered what was going on in the text, it blew his head off, because he was like, wow, Jesus says this about us? That's amazing. See, do you not think that as we dig and dig, as we come to his word, as we preach his word, that he will not fill us up? Has he not got more to say to us than you have a lifetime to learn about? Of course that is the case. It's funny, when you're a teenager, you get to a point, don't you, when you think, my grown up, they've got nothing to teach me now. I've got it nailed. What are they talking about? I'm going to do it this way. And then a few years later, you look back and you think, I was a bit of a Burke, wasn't I? I can't believe I thought like that. I was really silly. They really have been through a lot, and they do know a lot. Let me encourage you. Jesus is saying here, don't be a teenager with the word of God. Don't be a teenager with the message of the kingdom. You will find there are depths that you can swim in. Listen carefully. Listen with big expectation. And I guess for those of you who maybe you're not a Christian, you're listening in, Jesus is saying here, really, if you listen big, then he's got a lot to offer you. So listen big. Well, there's the first thing. But the second thing that the last two parables bring up, it's kind of it comes back to the point of how is the kingdom going to grow? Yeah, people need to listen, right? People need to listen. If you listen big, you'll get loads out of it. But then also, how is the kingdom going to grow? Well, Jesus says in the last two parables, he just says, look, it is going to grow. It is. It starts small and it will grow big. Look at these two parables. One of them I absolutely love. So verse 26 to 29, let me read it to you. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts his sickle to it, because the harvest has come. What is this farmer doing? He doesn't really know, does he? I love this parable, because what is the farmer doing? He sows seed, he goes and has a sleep, he goes and gets on with the rest of his life, and he doesn't get the biology of it. Doesn't quite get how the soil and the sun and the water, how it all works, but it just grows. So he just keeps sowing it, and it just grows. And he gets on with life, and he sows, and he chills out, and he sows and it grows. And Jesus says, that's what my kingdom is like. You know, as the word is sown, it will grow. And you may not think, you may not understand how that works. You know, every life you meet, it's so, we're all so complex, aren't we? We've all got complex histories and complex backgrounds, and you think, how can this message about Jesus the King giving his life for his people, how is that gonna impact you in your situation? And yet Jesus says it will. It's transcendent over culture, it's transcendent over personality, it's transcendent over situations, because it is the true message that makes sense of all of reality. He says you don't need to work, know, understand all the intricacies, just sow, just keep sowing. But I think that's kind of really encouraging, isn't it? Keep sowing, keep sowing. But I think the thing that struck me from this parable, which probably came out in connect groups, you know, you probably would have seen this in your connect groups as well, is how the narrative kind of slows down. Verse 28, right? All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And as soon as the corn is ripe, he puts a sickle to it. But the point is, the growth is slow. And I kind of want to say that should be an encouragement to us. The growth from the sowing of the word of God sometimes takes a long time to develop. First the corn, then the ear, then the ear. You know, it's just, it's slow. Slow work. It's not microwave ready. There's gonna be a great moment, isn't there, when we get back into the church together, and as long as the children aren't quarantined totally off, some of you regulars who have seen the children like 6 months ago will see them again and be like, what has happened to you? You have like turned into a giant. You have doubled in size. See, for parents with their children, we don't really see the growth. You know, it's happening all the time and it's really slow, and we don't often see them, that they have grown, until we go, right, those leggings used to be really baggy on you and now they're right up your thighs, or here's your jumper which used to be really baggy and now it's like this and you can't move. Oh, you've grown. You know, that's when parents realize they've grown. But in 6 months time, you're going to look on and go, wow, you've grown. What have you done to your kids? Have you stuck them in a bad of miracle grow bag? What has happened to them? See, for the parents, it's very gradual. But when you see someone after a period of time, it's like, it's been massive. And Jesus here again, I think he's just saying, as you sow the word, you may not see the growth as you're doing it. It may be incredibly slow and actually at times discouraging, but it grows. It really does grow. His word grows in people's lives. And I know there'll be people here just thinking, okay, I've sown so much, you know, my kids growing up in my home, and the growth seems incredibly slow. And I want to encourage you, God's word does not return to him empty. It doesn't. And the growth, you may be thinking, it is incredibly slow. Lord, help me to see the growth, but trust him. Trust the word to do the work. Surrey Chapel, we need to trust God's word to do the work. It will change hearts. It will change lives. That's what Jesus is saying here. But then actually the second parable, the second parable in this little thing, the fourth parable is just a brilliant parable. Look at this. Again, he said, what shall we say about the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. You know, he says, what is God's kingdom going to be like? He says, it's like a mustard seed, a pathetically small seed. But when you plant it in, it grows up to become a really quite impressive tree. Now, I've done a bit of research this week, and I Googled, this is like in-depth research, and I Googled something. What is the largest tree on planet Earth? And apparently, it's in, here we go, let me get this absolutely right. Let me find this. Okay, the largest tree in the world apparently is a giant sequoia. It's a redwood. It's found in California's Sequoia National Park. And apparently the largest, now this is not the tallest, right? This is the largest, the most in terms of mass, size, is one called the General Sherman. Having heard that someone has named a tree, the General, I want to start naming some of my plants the General Sherman. In fact, I regret not calling one of my daughters the General Sherman. That's a great name. Anyway, and apparently this tree is 52,500 cubic feet, or in our sort of understanding, if you imagine an Olympic-sized swimming pool, it would be half filled with tree. So it's not the tallest, but it is the largest. And let me tell you how tall it is. It's 88 meters tall. And again, to put that in perspective, if you imagine the cathedral, the spire of the cathedral, it's about 7 meters shorter than the spire of the cathedral, and it's a tree. I mean, that is massive. Now look, here's some picture of, these are the seeds. This is a seed of a redwood that grows into one of those sequoias, those giant sequoias, and that is tiny. And it grows into something that size. Well, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? And Jesus is capturing that sort of imagery, and he's saying, that is it. That is my kingdom. That is the sort of growth. It starts so tiny, but it gets massive. Now, do you know when they reckon that sequoia was planted? 2,000 years ago. It was planted about the same time as Jesus was preaching this. And just imagine that seed, you know, Jesus' death, resurrection, ascension. He's got 12 blokes and a few others. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations. 12, tiny seed, tiny seed. Here we are 2,000 years later. And apparently there are 2.3 billion people on planet Earth who profess to know and trust and follow Jesus. That's all. That's just under a third of the world's population. Now, how many of those people are actually really do know Jesus? I don't know. But that's still massive growth, isn't it? And how long has that taken? It's a long time. Slow growth, small, 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 but it will be massive. See, that is to encourage us. Jesus is saying here, this is to encourage you. My kingdom will grow. Now, let me tell you what he's not promising us. He's not promising us that Surrey Chapel will grow. And he's not even promising us that in our lifetime, we will see the United Kingdom, you know, a massive sort of revival, outbreak, growth within our country. That's not what he is promising us. But what he is saying is this. As you give yourself to sowing the word, as you give yourself to enabling the word to sow, you know, you paint the building so that it's a more welcoming environment, so more people might hear the word. You sort out the PA so people can hear the word. You talk to your friend, your little friend, and you say, oh, you know, I do trust Jesus, and actually he has given me hope that I can't find anywhere else. You know, as you labor with that young church class, you may not see the growth, or you may not see it yourself. But as you look back in eternity, you'll go, wow, look at the tree that God grew through such small things that we did. See, it can be discouraging, but Jesus is saying here, don't give up. Don't give up listening big, with big expectation that Jesus has got so much to feed you. And don't give up sowing big, because the kingdom will grow. Let me pray. Lord God, we find the imagery in this passage inspiring, encouraging, and we really feel we need that when we think about all that is going on in our culture, in our society, and just, you know, what seems to be a hardness to this wonderful message of rescue and reconciliation with you through your Son. Father, it breaks our hearts, and yet, Father, we ask that you will help us to grow in boldness and clarity and trust that your word will do the work, that your kingdom will grow. And Father, we do ask that in your mercy that we might see many people come to know Jesus amongst us through our ministry, through more widely the ministry of many churches in this country. Build your kingdom. we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to finish our time singing a song that is all about sowing the word, and it's Hear the Call of the Kingdom.